This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Many residents of Robeson County didn't get a chance to fully rebuild after Hurricane Matthew before Florence's wind and rain swept in. After Matthew, FEMA distributed more money for public projects and rebuilding in Robeson than any other county in North Carolina. But a new report by the Center for Public Integrity shows the arduous process of getting those funds can add to the pain of rebuilding. As part of a special six-part series, Abandoned in America, the investigative news organization dug into what federal and state support looks like on the ground after a major natural disaster and how residents of Robeson County feel left behind. Ashley Balserzak is a federal politics reporter at the Center for Public Integrity, and she joins us now. Welcome, Ashley. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you. Thanks for having me.
Talk about the series first, Abandoned in America. You're profiling areas where people feel ignored. Give us a scope of the series itself.
Yeah, of course. So basically, we are federal politics reporters that normally cover influence, money in politics, kind of the millionaires and billionaires who have the ear of politicians. So we thought it would be interesting to look at those who don't have the ear of their federal politician handy. So we created a big database and tried to pinpoint places across the country that don't rank high on these measures of federal lawmaker connections. So looking at campaign contributions, lobbying data, voting registration data or turnout data, diversity, English speaking, are you close to a district office? And then from there, we chose different places depending on different problems that they face to try to kind of get a well-rounded look. So this is one of six. We also looked at Fresno, California, Presidio, Texas, Yazoo City, Mississippi, St. Louis, Missouri, and Standing Rock Reservation in North and South Dakota.
What is it about Robeson County that qualifies for this particular list?
So they ranked really low on all of those measures that I was just speaking of. Voter turnout is in the bottom quintile of the country. They are very diverse, one of the most diverse rural counties, with a third black, a third white, a third Native American Lumbee. And then from there, it was just very interesting to us since they were still struggling to recover after Hurricane Matthew. So that was kind of the angle at which we started looking at it. So we started with this data journalism and then with some leather reporting. We thought that this was a story that needed to be told. And then halfway through the reporting or toward the end of the reporting, then Florence hit, which just kind of showed doubled down on what we had found.
Now, interestingly enough, Robeson County may not look like a very influential place, but it is the place that got the most, at least federal aid in the aftermath of Matthew, right?
Yeah, so, and I think that it's difficult to compare across counties, but that does just show kind of the scope of the damage there. They just got pummeled by both of these hurricanes. We don't know what they'll get for Florence yet, but with Matthew, yeah, they ranked high with FEMA and Small Business Administration loans.
You profiled Diane Powell, who is a woman that you write is living in a kind of recurring nightmare. Tell us her story.
Yeah, so I actually met her back in July, the day that she got back into her home. She had been going back and forth with FEMA for months right after the storm in 2016, and she said that she talked to a new person every time. They asked for one piece of information, and then they asked, why did you bring that? And then she would get denied. So it was just a very difficult struggle, and after 12 times, she was like, you know what, forget this. Like, I'm going to go another route. Then a cousin introduced her to a Baptist group that, with a couple months of work, they were able to do the work pretty quickly and with the help of a Small Business Administration loan and some flood insurance money, she was able to get back into her house. So I saw her walking through it in July. It looked beautiful. She said it was better than it was before. And then she got hit again with Hurricane Florence. So then I went back after that flood to see. and the floors were just destroyed. I think it looks like at least a foot of water had kind of come into the house. You could see that water mark around the house, and just the floorboards were all disheveled and kind of looked like piano keys. And she had just started moving in and was moving all of her things back into a new storage unit. She now has two, one for Matthew, one for Florence. So, and now is just starting this process again. And so far she's heard from FEMA that they are referring her to take out another Small Business Administration loan, which she says she can't afford at this point. She's still paying off the first one.
She's got a loan and not direct aid. And so this, obviously you have to pay that money back. And even if the interest rate is small, this is difficult. But it does sound too like, I mean, these are disasters. And as you say, Robeson County was terribly hit. Just the scope of damage there was enormous. One might expect that the bureaucracy might turn more slowly than you need when you have nothing. To what extent is this a reflection of Robeson County's stature in terms of its political influence? And how much of this is just it's really hard to deliver service quickly in the aftermath of a disaster like that?
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to know. I mean, talking to FEMA, they say, I mean, this is the nature of disaster. So people are going to get kind of caught up or left behind, which is true. But as I mentioned before, I'm an influence reporter. We kind of cover the people that have these resources. And I do think it's striking that these people feel like they're being ignored and left behind when they don't have these channels to their government in the way that others do. There's not a good analysis out there that's showing like the speed of recovery for this county versus others. So I can't speak to that. But I mean, from talking to people there, they do really feel left behind.
And talk about that, because that's something else that's very important to your reporting and what you discovered when you talked to these folks, this sense that they don't have the kind of influence. How is that reflected in a material way? How do we see that, and how do they feel that?
So, as I mentioned, we were looking at a lot of different data points. So they have the second lowest voter turnout in 2016 in the state of North Carolina. They don't donate much money. It's less than a dollar per person. Robert Pittenger didn't have a district office there and doesn't exactly visit that often. So the people that I was then talking to were saying, well, we don't see the people that are supposed to represent us on the ground, and that really means a lot to us. Like Pittenger, the last time we saw him was a town hall meeting that didn't go so well, and we haven't really seen the Republican Mark Harris or the Democrat Dan McCready around. And this really showed after Hurricane Matthew and the fact that Donald Trump's campaign bus was around there passing out water bottles. That really resonated with a lot of people that may normally not have voted for him. They said, we didn't see Hillary, but we saw Trump. So in addition to him talking to the base in a way that they wanted to hear, the fact that he was even there meant a lot to them.
And the fact that they may not have the kind of political influence as measured by the measures that you used in your reporting doesn't mean they can be taken lightly. You mentioned Robert Pittenger, who was turned out. He lost the primary. To what extent was his absenteeism and the sense by his constituents that he wasn't paying much attention the reason that Republicans, anyway, turned him out?
Yeah, I mean, with Robeson County, it's a little different because they really are so, there are so many Democrats. So, I mean, they barely voted for him. They mostly voted for McCready in that sense. But I talked to someone who said, well, what does Charlotte have to do with me? That can apply to Pittenger and Harris and McCready, though. But they're just saying that the people that are going to represent them come from another part of North Carolina that looks vastly different from their place. So how can this person relate to me is kind of a big question.
I'm going to talking again about disaster relief. You also spoke with Lumberton City Council member Columbus Chris Howard Jr. and talked about the impact that he had. And he's somebody with a little bit of influence as a city council member anyway. Talk about his story.
Yeah, so he also could not escape the storm. He and his wife, Jennifer, were displaced and were living in a hotel for a bit. Then they bought out Jennifer's parents' home and had been living in that home. And they were waiting for FEMA to tear down and rebuild their first home. That's a part of a hazard mitigation program that was supposed to happen. And then Hurricane Florence hit, and then both houses were just flooded again. Their original home, they just aren't even sure what's going to happen anymore. He's saying that he's been trying to talk with FEMA, and they have no idea kind of where these two buckets are heading, like what's going to happen with what was promised for Matthew now that Florence has hit. So he's just kind of given up on that original house, and now they're trying to make the parents' house their home because they just don't really know what to do right now. So that was really striking to me, the fact that this is a member of the local government who is going through exactly what everyone else is going through, and just questions aren't being answered at this point directly after the storm.
Ashley Balzerzak is a federal politics reporter at the Center for Public Integrity. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
You can find links to her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. The series is called Abandoned in America, and as I say, it's at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, history executed these women for their beliefs. A new play brings them back to life in a comedy that tackles feminism and politics. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.